sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I encourage you to open to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is where I would like to pick up this morning. As you know, we have been for some time, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount and trying to see the heart of our Savior, the thoughts and the intents of His teachings, trying to see His focus and His desire for His people through what He taught. And we've been trying to do that from His Sermon on the Mount, the first time that He really spent time seated with His disciples, not the masses, not the multitudes, not those of the world that were primarily seeking Him for the loaves and fishes and the healings and the blessings. I'm thankful we can depend on God for our blessings and our guidance and our healings and all of these things. I'm thankful we can rely on Him, but He is gathered with those that want more than just the blessings, more than just the healings. They want to learn of Him. They want to be guided by Him. They want to be disciples of Him. They truly want to be Christians. I firmly believe that every child of God is blessed of God. I firmly believe that every child of God has the healing given to them by God. And they are blessed by Him, whether they know His name, whether they pray to Him, whether they've ever heard of Him, whether they've ever opened the Bible. He blesses them and He guides them. I firmly believe that He is in the lives of every one of His children. And I know by His Word that it's not according to the preaching, it's not according to the Scriptures, it's not according to what you know, whether or not you're a child of God. Amen. I firmly believe that every child of God is touched of God in this life, no matter what they do, no matter where they are, no matter who they are. But those that have a heart, that have learned, that have seen, that have a desire to grow and to follow Him, that's a whole nother level. What a blessing it is in our lives to know who God is. To not know that there's something in me that touches me, there's something in me that guides me, there's something in me that makes me want to know better, but to know the name of who that is that's in me, of who that is that guides me, of who that is that makes me want to know better. What a blessing it is that we know it's God. That we have that blessing because the works of Christ. That we have that blessing because the Spirit that indwells us and is speaking to us, crying out, Abba, Father. What a blessing it is to know these things. And what it is that Christ wants those people to know. What it is Christ wants us to know as Christians. And He has been spending a large amount of time teaching and guiding to that end. And He's going to close up here in the 7th chapter in an example. He's going to make it, He's going to put it into perspective for us. This is kind of what separates a lesson from a sermon. I hope you know that a preaching is supposed to be more than just a lecture. It's supposed to be more than just a sermon, or more than just a lesson. I want to teach you. I want to guide you. But there's more to it than that. A sermon, preaching, is meant to apply it to your life. It's to give the sense of it. We see that in the Old Testament when it gives the description of preaching. They read the word and they gave the sense of it. Jesus didn't want to just give them a lesson and give them head knowledge. You know, there's more to Scripture than knowing Scripture exists. There's more to Scripture than knowing what Scripture says. Having those token verses up on your wall or up on your refrigerator and are having it just around you from day to day, there's more to Scripture than just knowing what it says. The point of Scripture is to apply it to your life. And the same goes for a sermon. I'm thankful y'all are here this morning. I really am. And I pray the Lord helps me to teach you something this morning. But more than that, I hope through His grace and through His strength and through His guidance, we can apply these things to our lives. And Jesus does that here in the seventh chapter and brings it about to something that we can see that these lessons are really intended to affect our everyday life. And how we think and how we do and why it is that He has spent this time teaching us. If you would read with me here in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Jesus' examples, they're perfect. In my preaching, I try to bring about examples and things that'll tie it into your life, and sometimes my examples will fall short. They'll be misapplied. They won't make sense. Not everybody thinks like I do, and y'all should be thankful for that. But Jesus' examples are perfect. Everything about His teaching is perfect. We can learn from this. Jesus comes to the end of this teaching, of this lesson, and says, "Y'all have a choice to make. There's two ways this is going to go. You can listen to this, you can hear it, and you can apply it. Or you can listen to it and you can hear it and say, 'Well, that was a good lesson, brother. I greatly appreciate some of the points you brought about,' and just go on about your life. You have the choice. One choice, God says, is a wise choice. The other choice, God says, is a foolish choice." He says, "Those that hear and do, I'll liken him unto a wise man." Those that hear and just go on about their lives, I'll liken him unto a foolish man. Because Jesus gives us a truth here that we all need to listen to and we all need to accept. We all need to understand. We're building houses. Oftentimes when you go to this lesson, when you read these verses, we want to hurry up and we want to focus on the foundation and we want to focus on the storm. And I think we mistakenly miss the fact that Jesus says we're building houses. We all have a house to build. We are all building houses, and this house here is your life. It is your life. And we have the choice of how we're going to build it. We have the choice of what we're going to allow to be built into it, what we're going to keep out of it. We have the choice. Every one of us, if you're alive, you're building a house. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to his soon-to-be teachers of the word and telling them that you're currently, you're presently. Are y'all listening to me? You are currently, you are presently building your life every day. And he says, those of you that listen to me and apply this teachings to that building, I'll liken you unto a wise man. Those of you that listen to me and say, well, that was good, brother. Now I'm just going to go on about my business. I'll liken you unto a foolish man. Because there is a right and a wrong way of building houses. We're told this very early on in Scripture by David in the book of Psalms. In Psalms 127, he says, except God build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now that verse, that psalm has many applications that are right, they're true, and we should learn from it. I think the truest, probably the most direct teaching of it is a family. Except God build the family, you labor in vain that build it. I think it applies to the church. I think you can look at Psalms 127 in the application of the church, and it is right and it is true. Unless God build the church, you labor in vain that build it. You can also apply it to your personal life. Except God build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, the mistake there is thinking that's saying, do you think, y'all listen, y'all think about this. Do you think that Psalms 127 saying, except God build the house, they labor in vain that build it, means that at some point you should sit idle and you should wait for God to descend from heaven or Jesus to descend from heaven and literally lay the boards and nail the nails and build your life for you? Y'all know there's teachers that try to teach that. It's called fatalism. It doesn't work. It's false. It's a false doctrine. It doesn't work at all. That doesn't literally mean God is going to physically build your life for you, and you are just some hollow log that he's just going to move through like nothing happened, or you're some stick man that he's working everything in your life. What he's saying when he says, except God build the house, they labor in vain that build it, are those that listen and apply are wise, and those that listen and don't apply are foolish. Is who is the architect? Who's the master? Who's the foreman? Who's the boss? Who designed it? See, I know what a house pertains of. I know the basics of it. I could go out into a piece of land and I could clear back the rubble, and I know that a house has got to have at least four walls, unless you make it a triangle. I suppose you could make it a triangle. You could make it a circle, but it's got to have walls. And it's going to have a roof. We'd probably prefer for it to have a bathroom. And I could put something together. I know how to cut boards and nail nails, and I know how to make sure stuff is fairly true and level and square, and I can put something together, and my wife would be able to tell you, it would look like a house. Probably have some flaws here and there. I have attention to detail, but I lack the finesse of detail on some things. I could build something that looks like a house, and it would be a shelter, but it wouldn't hold up the first time a big snowstorm comes along and piles 3 or 4 inches on the roof, because chances are I wouldn't have figured on that. And it'd cave in. Or I wouldn't get the pitch of the roof right, and it would hold water in one side, and I'd wind up with a puddle in the living room. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? Who's designing your house? Who gave you the blueprints? What are you building according to? See, we talked about this last week when we were looking at the straight and the narrow and the broad and the wide, and we've got to actually seek out that there's options in our lives. We've got to understand we don't have to do anything. We have the choice of serving God or serving self, and we have that choice in everything we do. And we have to seek out, and we have to follow the roadmap that God has given us in His Word. Thy Word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And Jesus is tying everything He has told us through this Sermon on the Mount into this one example. Who is it that is designing your house? Who is it that is building and showing you the way to build and the importance of certain things and what you should keep out of it, what you should allow into it? Your life is very important. And the stuff that you allow into your life and the stuff that you keep out of your life matters. We all have a life to build. And we can all get it done. You can live your life in autopilot. I'm guilty of it. Probably way too often. And I used to be much more guilty of it than what I am today. Of just, oh, it'll work out. It's okay. Just don't pay it, no, never mind. And just move on. We can go through autopilot. And you know what you'll do? You'll build a house. Paul tells us about this, and that we all build according to the foundation that God has laid. We all build these things up. Some wooden, hay, and stubble, some stones, some precious stones and gold. But all of our building will be tried by fire. And some things will stand and some things won't. All these lessons about lean not onto your own understanding, but rather seek God in everything you do, culminates in your life that you are trying to build. This is what Christ is talking about. This is the heart of Christ. This is the ultimate example of what He is trying to get across. And His truest desire for us is, are we going to build our house according to Him? Are we going to build our life according to Him? Are we just going to do it how we want to? I know what I want in my house. I know what I want the kitchen to look like. I know I want a big living room with it's got the open floor plan. And I know how many bedrooms I want it to have. I know the color of the walls. I know how everything about my how I want it to be. But I promise you, God knows better. God knows better. And the challenge for us is to build our houses according to Him. Except we build our house according to His blueprint, we labor in vain in building it. The choices you make in your life matter. See, we've got three this year that are graduating. Two of them are missing this morning. I hope they listen later. I want y'all to understand, and since you're the only one here, I'll probably look at you several times. I try not to make any sermon real personal on any one individual, but this needs to be heard. This needs to be taught. The decisions that you are making, the decisions that you have already made, they will affect you your entire life. The habits that you allow in, the thoughts, the intents, the focuses that you allow into your life very early on will affect you your entire life. See, the fact that I was very given to the autopilot life started very young in my epic Just Enougher. I was a stellar C student. I've told y'all that before. That still affects my life today. I built that wall in my life. Was it according to God or was it according to me? Our life is constant building and remodeling and reconstruction. And I love how perfect God's examples are, how perfect Christ's examples are. The house is always changing. It's always evolving. It's always moving. I'm always seeing where I've messed up and I've got to tear this portion of my wall down and rebuild it. I'm always having to remodel because I learn better and I understand better. The more I study, the more I see where I've got walls in my life that don't belong in my house and I need to get rid of them. I need more of an open floor plan. And God blesses me to understand I need to demolish that and demo it and get it out. And the decisions that you're making right now, and I'm talking to you and the other ones, and I really do hope they listen, but the decisions that you're making right now matter. And you older ones, y'all understand it does to y'all too. I'm not leaving y'all out. The decisions you make in your life matter. There are walls in your house. And we can have too many walls. And it just becomes a maze and you can't get around in your own house. Y'all listening to me? The decisions you make matter. And the world's going to teach you how to build your life. The world is going to teach you how to build a life, and you will build a life whether you intend to or not. You're going to build a house. And for them boys, I can tell you, the world's going to teach them that they should just live their life however they want to, just have fun, have pleasure, and do just serve you, and everything will work out. No, it won't. You'll build a life according to that. You'll build a house according to that. It will not stand the storms. God's design is for the boys to grow up to be men and to lead a household and to serve a household and to grow a household. That's the walls that God intends to have in your life. And to build and to be looking for that. Not just go about just whatever's going to work for me today. I'm telling you, house building takes plans. You can't decide on Sunday, I'm going to build a house and make sure it's done by Wednesday. You might put up a lean-to or some kind of a quick structure, but you're not going to build a house that way. You've got to plan out. You've got to look. You've got to study. You've got to see the things that are needed. You've got to get the blueprints and you've got to put in the effort and you've got to know what you want. You've got to know right now you are in a major milestone point of your life where something's fixed to change major. And if you don't have a goal of what you're looking for, then I'm not talking about what I want to do next year. I'm talking, you need to be saying when I'm 40, when I'm 50, when I'm 60, what is this house going to look like? Because you can't wait till 59 to make 60 look right. I've made a mistake. I ain't up to 60, but I can tell you, I waited way too late to figure out what 40 was supposed to look like. You've got to plan. House building, life building is not supposed to be done an overnight decision. The world's going to teach you how to live too. And I can tell you, the world has gotten so upside down and sideways about what it means to be a woman, it's ridiculous. Trying to blur the lines and blend the lines and everybody's supposed to be the same. I can tell you by the Word of God and God's design, no, you are not. Men and women are not supposed to be the same, and that is a blessing of God. You women are more loving, you're more emotional, and I can tell you the world needs that. You're not supposed to be the same. And the world will teach you women that the last thing that should be on your mind is motherhood. And it sickens me. It sickens me that the world has gotten so twisted and out of line that it's teaching girls today that the last thing you should want is a husband and a family. You should be looking to have a career. You should be looking to build that. And should you have a career? Sure. Good. Go for it. Do that. But the goal is the family. That's God's design. That's God's blueprints. And don't lose sight of that. God has a set of blueprints about what our life is supposed to look like. God has a design. God has given us the blueprints. He has given us the intents. He has given us the plans and everything that we need in order to build our life according to Him. And don't fast forward to the storms and all the other stuff and realize the fact that Jesus is saying plainly, we are all building a life. We are all building a house every day. And we have to make the choice of what that house is going to look like. I've got a room that is my family. I've got a room that is my work life. I've got a room that is my ministry. I've got a room that is my pastorate. I've got a room that is me. I've got a room that is my hobbies. I've got all of these rooms in my house, and they're all me. And I've got to learn what that's supposed to be. I can tell you every day I'm learning better what my husband's room is supposed to look like. I'm learning every day better what my pastorate room is supposed to be and what it's supposed to look like and the walls that are supposed to hold that up and secure the roof and to keep some things in and keep some things out. I'm constantly having to learn, and I can tell you, you choose the rooms that you build. And I can tell you one of them that the world will tell you is supposed to be supreme and major in your house that shouldn't be anything more than a closet, and it's hobbies. And I don't mean to meddle, but I can tell you right now, the world would tell you hobbies is supposed to be the full outside structure. You seek to rise up early, eat, drink, and have pleasure, and go back to bed. And if you have time for anything else, then great. And it's destroyed churches, it's destroyed families, it's got the whole family structure upside down because we're constantly trying to make sure the kids are busy and happy. That's backwards. The world will teach you that your hobby room, man caves and she sheds and all that sort of stuff, they should be a closet. Now, I love fishing. I do. I love to fish. I like hunting. I love to go out hiking. We're going to have a family vacation this year. I'm looking forward to it. They're all good things, but that should not be the goal. It should not be the focus. We can get our focus off on our house and spend way too much time building up one side and watching the rest of it crumble away. Y'all didn't think all this was here, did you? Jesus says, those that hear my teachings and do them, I'll liken him unto a wise man that built his house according to plan. Those that hear my sayings and have my word and listen and read them and study them but don't do anything with them, I'm going to tell you, he's going to liken you unto a foolish man that built your house like you wanted it. And you'll have it and it'll hold and it'll do, but I can tell you storms are coming for both people. And the world and the storms are going to test your structure. If you build your house according to God's plans, it will not remove the storms of life. Y'all listen to that. Verse 25 and verse 27 are identical for both people. And the rain descended, verse 25 and the rain descended, verse 27. And the floods came, verse 25. And the floods came, verse 26. And beat upon that house, and beat upon that house. Living for God does not, y'all listen to me, living for God does not exclude the troubles and the struggles of this world. I know there is teachings out there in churches right now that if you believe enough, if you have enough faith, if you trust in God enough, you'll not get sick, you'll be happy, healthy, wealthy, and blessed, and that's balderdash according to God's word. Living for God, being the greatest Christian this world has ever seen, his name was Jesus Christ, and you tell me that man did not have storms in his life. His family turned on him. His friends turned on him. They hated him. They spat in his face. They drove thorns in his head. They drove nails through his hands. They hung him from a cross and drove a spear through his side. And he was the perfect Christian, and he was not excused from the storms and the troubles of this world. Being a Christian does not make the world better. But I tell you that you can look at Christ and you can see the things that he went through. And he went to the cross despising the shame. But he went to the cross with joy in his heart, knowing the prize that was on the other side. Being the greatest Christian this world has ever seen will not excuse you from troubles, from struggles, from sickness, from being broke from time to time, from the money falling short, from the aches and the pains. But I tell you, being the greatest Christian this world has ever seen will help you find peace in it, will help you find comfort in it, and you can look outside the windows and go, "Whoo, what a storm. I'm glad I'm in here." Y'all see the difference? Jesus is saying you have the choice of building your house in the kingdom or building your house out there. And the choice is yours. Y'all don't miss that. The choice is yours. And the deciding factor is opening up the box. Y'all ever notice this? Y'all ever bought something some assembly required? You open up the box, what's sitting at the top? The instruction book. Now you men, y'all be honest. How many times you open up that box and go, "I don't need that. I know how to put a shelf together." None of us are guilty of that, right?
Oh, no.
Y'all know what this is? How many times do we look at our life and go, "I don't need that. I know how to build my house. I know how to build my life." There's the difference. You may get the shelf built, but it takes you twice as long, and you wind up with missing parts. And then you go to loading that shelf down and it falls through the floor. You go, "What in the world happened? I know I built the shelf. And then you pick up the instructions. Oh, that piece was supposed to go over here, not over there. I mean, that's silly, right? That's what Jesus is saying. Those that build their life and build their house according to my design and my word, you'll stand the storms. Those of you that say, "Well, that's all great. I can tell you, the instruction book probably does tell me how to do it fast, but I can get by with it according to me." You're not going to stand the storms. And that's according to God. That's not just "thus saith the loud screaming preacher." Jesus says, Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Without a doubt, foundation matters. Without a doubt, that's where it begins. If you would, go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 6. This is one of the other recordings of the Sermon on the Mount, and God inspires Luke to put in an extra point here that I think is really important. I mean, it is, and it is beautifully spoken. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 47, you find the same thing. It says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that built a foundation and built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Where it begins is in your foundation. Of a truth, you cannot over explain, understand, estimate the importance of a foundation. You can have the perfect structure. The architecture is right. The structural design and engineering is perfect to be able to hold the greatest loads. It'll stand up to earthquakes and hurricanes and fire and drought and everything else. That house is designed perfectly. The structural engineering is perfect. And you can take that thing and you can go build it in the wrong place and it will fall at the first puff of wind. You'll look up and cracks will be in the corners and the doors won't close right. But it was designed perfectly. I followed the instruction book. I followed everything I was supposed to do. But you didn't do the groundwork. Your foundation is where it begins. Parents, y'all listen to me for just a second. You know what your job is? To start that foundation. You know why Scripture says to parents, train up the child in the way they should go and they shall not depart from it. Your raising is starting your child's foundation. Your child is going to build a house the same as you are. You've got to start laying that foundation. And kids, as hard as it is, mom and dad really do know what they're talking about. You want to know why? They were kids too. They were teenagers too. Oh, it's just totally different now than it was before. No, it's really not. I can tell you the same hormones raged in them as raged in you. They've been there. They've done that. Parents really do know what they're talking about. I tell my kids all the time, I wasn't born with gray hair. I wasn't born this old. Letting your parents build your foundation is important. The world today wants to remove that. The world today says that schools and teachers and government's supposed to build the foundation for kids. And I'm not against schools and I'm not against teachers, but they have no business laying foundation for my children. That's your jobs. It's your job to build your kids' foundation and teach them right from wrong and teach them morality. It's not the schools. And if you're not doing it, I promise you they are. And y'all that are fixing to graduate, you're fixing to lay a major stone of your foundation. Graduation is one of those milestone points where you lay a major foundational stone of your life. And you can lay it to, I'm fixed to see just what happens, or you're going to lay it on purpose, knowing what you're looking for. And it will make a huge difference. When you're building a foundation, you don't just go out there and just pick up whatever rock or stone or cinder block you can find and just start putting them out there wherever you want them. No, you've got to design it. You've got to lay it out right. I'm not a great contractor or construction worker, but I've been around enough. I know you've got to plan out your foundation. Your footing's got to be right. And Luke tells us here a very important part. The man that was wise, he had to do some work before he started building. It says he dug deep and laid his foundation on a rock. We've got some stuff. It doesn't matter if you start building your life for God and building your house for God at the age of 5. You've got stuff in your life you're going to have to get out of the way. If you wait till you're 35, you're going to have a whole lot more dirt you're going to have to get out of the way. You cannot have, this is perfectly written. I love Luke's putting of this. You cannot have dirt. You cannot have the world between you and Christ and expect to build the right house. Well, I'll read and I'll follow the scriptures where I'm at, and God will be okay with it. No. No, He won't. You've got to get some stuff out of there. You can't have doubt between you and Christ and expect the house to hold. God help us if we allow doubt to be between us and the world's doubt be between us and Christ, when the storm comes, we'll get so scared of the storm, we'll tear our own house down trying to get out of the way of it. I must have built in the wrong place. It's too stormy here. I've got to move to go do this. I've got to go do something different. Now, God must not have been in it for us to be so stormy around here. We'll tear our own house down. Because we allow doubt and fear and things like that to get between us and Christ. We've got some stuff we've got to get out of our lives. And get out from between us and Christ. See, both men in this example, both people, both persons in this story, find Christ. The one man that listens and follows, he digs down. Because Paul puts it plainly, no other foundation can be laid but that which is laid, and that is Christ. Christ told Peter that when he asked him, "Whom do you say that I am?" And he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, except but God. And upon this rock I will build my church." The rock was not Peter. There's religion out there that tries to make the rock Peter. That's not the rock. There's teachings out there that makes that revelation the rock. The revelation of Jesus Christ is not the rock that He builds His church upon. The rock is Christ Himself. The fact, the truth, that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the foundation. He is the rock that we have to build our lives on. And the wise man realizes that and digs down deep. He gets the dirt. He gets the world. He keeps the doubt and the fears and the worries and the lack of faith and the lack of understanding and the lack of belief out from between him and Christ. And he builds his rock right on top of him. As he should. And the storms come. And the rains come. And the streams and the winds beat vehemently upon that rock. But because there is nothing between him and Christ, there is a sure foundation, a good seal. There's nothing to wash out from between them and to make it unstable. You know, that's why a house settles. Because they had bad dirt in a few places. And it gets weak, so the house tilts. And he doesn't move. I love it here in Luke. He says, can't even shake him. Man, wouldn't you like that? To have all this mess going on in the world and you're not even shaken by it. He says it's possible. But you're going to have to get down there on him and build your house right. The other man, he left all that stuff there. And the winds came. And the rains came, and the storms blew, and they washed all that worldly teaching, that worldly doctrine, that worldly understanding, washed all that dirt and all that sand out of the way. And guess what happened? Great was the fall of it, but where did he land? He's still his. He's still God's. And you can find Christ one of two ways in your life. You can seek him out. You can dig all the rest of the world out of the way until you're down there with him. Or you can wait till the world washes it away. You can wait till the fiery trials come that Paul tells us are going to come in Corinthians. And he says it burns it away. But one way or another, you'll find Christ. One's a lot more pleasant than the other. Brothers and sisters, I have built rooms in my life that I'm thankful they're gone now. I'm thankful they're gone now. But when the storms washed them out, it hurt. When the fires came and burned them away, it was painful. But you know what I found under him? A closer walk with thee, O Lord. A closer walk with thee. God will reveal those things that are holding you away from Christ. Jesus is telling us we can see those things and dig them out ourselves by following his word. Or we can wait till the storms and the fires burn them away. And you're going to find him a whole lot harder and a whole lot less pleasant. Does that make sense? Which one will we be? The wise man or the foolish? Will we follow the architect's designs? Or we say, I know what I want. And the Lord will be okay with it. Lord, help us. I thank you. And God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me? Sing it with me. Sing it with the saints in glory. Gathered by the crystal sea.